Sunday mornings we're studying the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. If you have a Bible with you, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 24 and 25 are two chapters that are dealing largely with the end of the age, the second coming of Christ. This morning we'll be looking at verses 14 through 30, but I would like to begin at verse 1 of this chapter. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Jesus is speaking, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. It is possible for bad things to happen by just doing nothing. Jesus is telling two parables about what can happen if you do nothing. Last week we looked at the first of these, the five foolish young ladies who did nothing to prepare for a wedding, and they were shut out of the festivities. And today we'll look at this second parable, a man who did nothing with the resources that were given to him, and he was cast out. Both parables follow a previous story from chapter 24. If you turn back a page to chapter 24 and verse 45, Jesus had said, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." And so these stories have to do with living in the expectation of Jesus' coming, when he comes, how we're to live in the expectation of Jesus' second coming. And they all have to do with how we're to live if there is a long delay. We are told on one hand that the coming of Christ is near, and yet there are these hints everywhere from Jesus himself that there may be a delay, there may be a long time. We see it in chapter 24, verse 48. "But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,'" and then we see it in the two parables that we've read this morning in chapter 25, verse 5, "As the bridegroom was delayed," and again in verse 19, "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them." So they all have to do with the second coming of Jesus. They all have to do with how we're to live if there's a long delay. And they have to do with the essential qualities of wisdom and faithfulness. Chapter 24, verse 45, the question that Jesus asked, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant?" Wisdom is then described for us in the story of the five wise virgins. They're wise because they prepared. They thought about, well, what if it takes a long time? We don't want to be caught short, and so we're going to look ahead, we're going to prepare. So they are wise. Faithfulness is now the theme of the story of the talents that we'll look at this morning. "Well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful." Jesus says, be wise, be prepared, think ahead. Don't be like these five foolish girls. Don't put off to the last minute what needs to be done now. Don't put off those great questions about God and sin and Jesus and life and death and heaven and hell. Today is the day of salvation. And be wise. Don't try to borrow and live off someone else's faith. Make the gospel your own. Do your own believing. Don't try to borrow off of someone else's faith. Be wise and watch. And now Jesus says, be faithful and work. The outline is in your bulletin. There are 7 points this morning, 7 principles that we learn from this parable of the talents. The first thing that we see is that God gives us something to be faithful with. He calls each of us to a task, and he equips us with certain gifts and resources. We see this at the very beginning of the parable. So when you, that's the wrong chapter, verse 25. Or chapter 25, verse 14. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. This is a thinly disguised story, isn't it, about Jesus himself, who leaves, and he leaves his followers there, entrusted to with his resources to do something. It's a thinly veiled story. Jesus is the man who has gone on a journey. We are his servants. To each of us, he has entrusted something valuable. As servants, we are also stewards. He's gone on a long journey. He has ascended into heaven. He is coming again. He's left us here to carry on this work of the kingdom. A talent in the Bible is the largest measurement that is used for a quantity of money. Not like talents, but even though we're talking about talents this morning, it's the talent that is here is a measurement of money. It is said to be equal to about 20 years' wages for a day laborer. If we were just to pick the figure of $30,000 a year, times 20, $600,000, I think. That's what the man with the 1 talent had, $600,000 to work with. The man with 2 talents would have $1.2 million. The man with 5 talents would have $3 million to work with. I think that helps us to see that what we're talking about here is something important. It's something precious. This is not just spare change that God just hands out and says, you know, see what you can do with that. He gives us this great treasure. He gives us these gifts, valuable, precious, and tells us, here is what you have to work with. It's not just money that God has given us. There are other resources, abilities, gifts, skills that are used to help others. Just to look very briefly at 2 passages that I think are familiar to you. One is Romans chapter 12. We just have a short list and some instructions about these very gifts that Jesus is talking about in this parable, Romans 12. Beginning at verse 4, "For as in one body we have many members, do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." And then just one other, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. "The end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." What has God given you? What gift? What skill? What ability? What resources has God placed into your hands? Are you wasting it? Is it just sitting there? Or are you using it? Are you hiding it in the ground? Or are you actively investing in the lives of others? God has given each of us something to be faithful with. The second principle that we see here is that God gives us different abilities. God doesn't call us all to do the same thing. He doesn't give us all the same gift. One man gets 5 talents, another gets 2, another gets 1. You and I are only responsible for what God gives us. No church can do everything. I mean, you think about all the things that are out there that the Bible talks about and that is included in the kingdom of God and that Christians should be active in. There are so many issues. There are so many areas, so many different realms in which Christ can be brought into that realm and make an impact. And we recognize all of that, but we also recognize that no church can do everything. No believer can do everything. No believer has all of the gifts so that they have no need of anyone else. No church can do everything. No single Christian can do everything, but you can do something. You and I are only responsible for what God gives us. It means you don't have to worry about what I got. I don't have to worry about what you have. Each of us is to be faithful with what God has specifically given us. You and I don't have to be envious over somebody else. Look at someone else and say, oh, they've got way more money than I've got. If I only had that money, I could do this. They have greater speaking abilities than I do. They can write much better than I can do. We don't have to be envious of someone else's gifts. Just be faithful with what God has given you. The third principle. God never calls us to do more than we're able. Now, all of the Calvinists shouldn't just jump on that statement and come up afterwards and say, well, we're not able to do anything, you know. Okay. I've already heard your complaint. So. God never calls us to do more than we're able. Verse 15, he gave to each according to his ability. God created you. He knows you. He knows how you're put together, how you're wired. He knows the gifts and the talents that you have because he's given them to you. He knows what you're good at, and he knows your limitations. He's not going to call you to do something that's beyond your ability. God is not going to call John Olson to direct the choir. God's not going to call me if Janice can't show up on a Sunday for me to go up and play the organ. It will sound like Deep Purple or Iron Butterfly or something. God's going to call Judy Cohn to come and play for us because that's how God has gifted Judy. God never calls us to do more than we're able. Sometimes he will stretch you. Maybe you will think, I'm not able to do that. You know, Moses said, I can't speak. Why don't you use my brother? You know. But God often supplies those very things. When he calls us to do something, that means there's got to be some kind of an ability here that can be awakened. Sometimes God will stretch you and at times surprise you by what you can do. He has a wonderful way of increasing our abilities. But generally, God will call you to do something that you're good at, and God will call you to do something that you are very much interested in doing. He grants you the desires of your heart. So as we look at all that God places in our hands to work with, the gifts, the abilities, the skills, the resources, we should see them by faith. You know, God knows that I can do this. God has given these gifts. God knows that I can do this. And so we should look at them by faith and expect God to enable us to succeed. A fourth principle. God will one day call us to give an account of what he's given us. Verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. You know, God gives you something to work with. Jesus gives you these gifts. He ascends into heaven. He leaves you here to work on the kingdom, and he's given you certain gifts, abilities, time, money, resources, skills, whatever it is. One day he's going to come back, and he's going to call us in and ask us to give an account. That's not a threat. That's a promise. It's not something that you should dread. It's something that you really should look forward to. If you're at work and you're doing a good job, isn't that when you want the supervisor or the boss to come walking by and say, "Oh, you're doing a good job"? Or if you're in school and you've written a really good paper, don't you want you can't wait till the teacher reads your paper to see, you know, this marvelous piece of literature that you've produced. You want to be caught doing something good. And so we should look at this as God's promise that what we do and labor with down here is not going to get lost and forgotten, that we should be looking forward to that day where God promises that he will reward us. The man with 5 talents and the man with 2 talents can't wait for the master to come back so they can rush in there and say, "Look what we did." You and I should live every day so that at the end of each day, we can hold up to Christ what we have done that day and say, "Look, you know, I gave it my best shot, and here's what I've got to offer back to you." And we should anticipate with joy that final day when we can bring Christ the finished product of whatever he entrusted to us and say, "Look, here's what I've been able to do by your grace." And to hear his words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." A fifth principle that we see here is that God is pleased with whatever we accomplish. God is pleased with whatever we accomplish. The man who earned 2 talents receives the same praise as the man who earned 5. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, you will be given much." It's not how much you accomplish that pleases God. It's your faithfulness with whatever it is that God has given to you. Don't think, "Well, I'm not Charles Spurgeon. You know, I'm not preaching and seeing conversions, you know, thousands of people every week." Don't think, "Well, I'm not Tim Keller writing a new book every week. I'm not Keith or Kristen Getty writing some amazing new hymns today. I'm not doing something grand like that. I'm just a mom working at home trying to raise my child so that he or she knows who Jesus is." God is pleased. He is absolutely thrilled with whatever we do when we are faithful with the gifts that he has given to us. Just be faithful. Sixth principle, God rewards his faithful workers. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Enter into the joy of your master. Come and share your master's happiness." We should not shy away from the idea of getting a reward. I mean, Jesus wouldn't tell us there's a reward if he wanted us not to think about that. We should not shy away from the idea that we're getting a reward. We're not getting a wage. We're not earning it. It's a bonus. It's just given freely because God wants us to have it, to acknowledge our faithfulness. God rewards faithful workers. But then finally, this morning, and sadly, God is grieved over those who do nothing. That seems to be the point of the story, the main point of the story. God is grieved over those who do nothing. Verse 26, "You wicked and slothful servant, lazy, worthless fellow, you did nothing." J.C. Ryle, in his commentary, said, "We are not told that the unprofitable servant was a murderer or a thief or even a waster of his Lord's money, but that he did nothing. And this was his ruin." And then Ryle says, "Let us beware of a do-nothing Christianity." I think this man with the one talent, if he just tried to do something and failed and lost it all, that the master would still be pleased. "Well done, good and faithful servant. At least you took the task seriously. You stepped out in faith. You gave it the best that you had. You lost it, but you were faithful." I think that his master would still have been pleased. But at least he tried. At least you tried. Come and share your master's joy and happiness. But this man did nothing. He had a gift. He had a skill. He had a resource. He didn't do anything with it except to blame the master. "Well, you're a hard man. You're hard to please. What's the use? You've given me this gift to work in the church, and if I start doing it and I don't do it right, you know, you're going to blame me. You're going to somehow make me look ridiculous. You're going to take it out on me because you're a hard man. You're a hard God. You're a hard God to please. You're an unreasonable father that can never be pleased." That's the way this man is thinking. "I'll just go dig a hole, put it in the ground, leave it there, and he'll get back what's his." It's the man, the woman who does nothing with what God has given them that Jesus labels as wicked and lazy. This morning, you may be unsure. You may feel lost. You may feel very inadequate about stepping out and doing something in God's kingdom. But your Father in heaven is not hard to please. He's the Father of lights, Father of all goodness, doesn't change. Every good and perfect gift comes down from him. He's already demonstrated that in so many ways. He sent Jesus Christ into this world to die for you. He has given you gifts through the Holy Spirit, bringing you into this church or whatever church that you belong to, making you a part of that body, so that you have gifts, binding you to brothers and sisters in Christ. God loves you and sent his Son to die for you and to procure these grace gifts for you. And he simply calls you to be faithful with what you have. Take the task seriously. Seriously consider what it is that is in your hands. What gift, what skill, what talent, what resource has God given you? And then use it. Do something. And then listen for those words from Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's possible for bad things to happen by just doing nothing. And so Jesus says, "Be wise and watch, be faithful and work." Let's pray. Father, it is always in times like this that we need to be led by your Spirit. We know that with a topic like this, that we can go to one extreme or another. We can completely dismiss the message and think that it's contrary to our relationship with you that's based on grace. Or we can go to the other extreme and just leave this place feeling a heavy load of guilt, thinking that it's up to us to bring the entire kingdom of Christ into its consummation. Help us to see ourselves by faith as you see us, children dearly loved by you, given gifts, given so many wondrous promises, given us so many abilities. Help us to focus in on that area where you are calling us to work. Help us to focus on that one area where we are being faithful and diligent and responsible with the gifts that you have given us, and help us to endure to the end. Continue to grant that wisdom and faithfulness that we need. We know that it is a gift from your Holy Spirit, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.